Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This That Song, this radio program, is for Saturday, November the 28th, 2015. Rapidly ending this year. It just blows me away how fast it all goes. I don't know about you, but it just goes so fast due to, well, probably you're busy too like me and have lots to do. So the day is the day, and you're very grateful for it, not looking at probably numbers. I don't ever look at numbers. I look at the bigger picture. This beautiful radio program and Satsang and everything that it encompasses is made possible by the beautiful donors who make this possible through their very loving and kind gifts. They are sponsors, and their sponsorship for the rest of this year has been matched by our mystery donor to make this radio program and our TV programs possible. And I want to thank them, and I hope that you will become a sponsor as well. Our donor is matching donations through, I believe it is January the 6th. I hope you will make your donation, make it possible for me to continue offering you everything I do on this website. It is only done through sponsorship, only. Yes, money talks, baloney walks. It costs money to do everything, and I get no breaks from radio stations, blah, blah, TV, whatever, just because we're a not-for-profit. So we have to pay the same amount as anyone else would, and your donations are the only thing that make this possible. So I hope that you will make a very kind and loving gift to keep us on the air. We are showing, as you might be noticing, the Book of Thomas, the Gnostic Gospels that I did many years ago on this website at aspire.org and locally, and I hope that you're enjoying it, that you're watching it. Again, these were made because of people who made contributions way back in the day, and their gifts are still serving humankind by being on the website and being shown on TV. So I hope that you enjoy them and find great insight. When I did the Gnostic Gospels, it was a real, what do I want to say, breakthrough. No one was doing anything in the Gnostic Gospels back in the day. And when I was doing the old Unity thing, I got a lot of flack for it too. But now everybody's doing it, and here we are, thank goodness, and maybe you'll get something out of those beautiful TV programs that we made. These particular programs won an Emmy and a Telly Award, which was very nice, so I'm very grateful. All right, let's get to the getting. Here's the first question. This is kind of potpourri. Why should I kind of thing. I always like to get these kind of organized. Why should I? I've heard of you. You are notorious. How do I wake up without too much involvement with your organization and the expense that goes along with it? It just doesn't seem like it should be that expensive. And this is from Sam. Sam the ham. Here we go. Yes, I am notorious. It depends on, you know, where you are with me and all of that. I'm persevering through the difficulties of students. They put up a lot of blocks. They make things more difficult than they need to be, and that's what they're all about. They just like the hassle sometimes. They like you, they want to keep what they like about themselves, and there wouldn't be really too much to dispose of. After all, you're just so awakened anyway, so you get rid of the superfluous little things, just make a few course corrections in your philosophy, and bingo, you're awakened, and you can think you got it all. A lot of my students are like that. They have that hidden deep inside. They hoop, 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 hoop. And as far as the expense is concerned, you don't get any big picture here, do you? You know, my organization, I am the organization. I'm the one that does all the work. I don't have a staff. So here's the deal. The money you give becomes a donation. That donation pours out to other people through my hospice work, my hospital work, my radio programs here, my TV programs. It all goes back into the mix of serving humankind. So your gift, although I doubt, Sam, that you could give a gift, your money goes out to serve humankind. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with humankind, keeping the money in a flow, which is what most people don't do. They stagnate their money. They don't give. And because they don't have the heart to give, they only have the mind of the what I call the intruder, the one that comes in and tells them that giving is foolish. Hence, they cut their own throat by being that way. They cut the hand that feeds them even. They don't give. They can't give. So you've heard of me. I'm pretty notorious. I am. I've thrown people out and I've brought people in. And I don't fool around because I don't have that much time left even in my own life. And by the way, the work is so important that I don't want it merged and mingled with those who have a lot of personal emotional problems that they are not willing to deal with and not willing to heal. So I don't have any problem, you know, saying to a person, I think you need to move on to other things. I have no problem with that. So understand, what you want is a short, quick way to get there. You don't see that money and giving and loving and sharing and working upon yourself make any difference at all. You have no sense of mercy or even the need for it. You don't talk about it here. What you are talking about here is how can you get involved to the point where you get what you want and at the least amount of money that you can spend and get the benefit out of it all. I bet you you cut out coupons, don't you? Huh? Do you pass homeless people and not give them anything? I wonder. You're not fit for this work. Not at all. And I wouldn't have you, even if you came to me and said, look, Greg, I'm sorry. You have to go through some trials and tribulations. To be in an authentic spiritual practice is not a matter of choice. It's a matter of choicelessness. It is where all the consequences of your life come together in one moment and you suddenly realize you have no choice but to sustain meditation and inner work. Inner devotion. You are shopping. You are thinking, well, maybe Greg's got this, but I don't want to give it too much because if I give him too much, then I'm committed and I don't want to do that. So I just want to get it quick. Besides, all this stuff should be free anyway. Nothing in life is free. There is a price I have found to pay for everything. And so this is the way you choose to live your life. This is the way you choose to operate in your living. It is the way you have chosen. I cannot help you. I am not here to inspire you to practice meditation or to work upon yourself. I am not here to inspire you at all. I am here as a door that opens for you to help you with the sense of transformation, of transcendence. I am a transcendence kind of teacher. Very few people on the planet are willing of transcendence. I am not here to occupy my students with laborious forms of entertainment, philosophy, speculation. I give them exactly what they need to mature into. And that includes their giving, their loving, their forgiving. We are working upon the state of mercy here, of developing enough consciousness to understand just how dangerous a person can be to themselves and the damage they can do to their own life without even knowing it, and then how to turn that into a state of love, how to turn that into the meaning of life, to turn it into love itself. That's what it's all about. I don't think you're of this elk. So, Sam, You need a few more lifetimes, maybe 1,000 or 2. I don't know. But you need much more to come to you before you're ever going to be ready for any teacher like me, whether it be me or someone else that is doing this kind of work and is very notorious, as you put it. You're going to have to persevere. And I don't think you have the horsepower to do it. Personally, I think that you're looking for side paths and kind of a quick, fast, easy way to get there. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And there is no way for that to happen. Shortcuts just don't exist. I'll see you around. Please forgive me. Namaste. I always get these kind of questions. You know, how can I get it quick, fast, and in a hurry without spending too much money? The money you give is a gift. The money you give goes out to serve humankind. You have to think of it like the cycle of rain into a little lake, into dripping into a creeks, and the creeks going back into the ocean, and the whole cycle begins again and again to replenish humankind, to serve it. And every penny goes that way to help people, because people need a lot of help. Next one comes from May. I want to come to a retreat, but I don't want to be committed to them. Can I come when I feel like it? May. May, you can do whatever you want. You can come when you feel like it and not. But you're going to lose the consistency. The group I have now, many of them are very consistent. They are working upon themselves. They are diligent. Are they awakening? I don't know. We'll see. Don't know. I don't make those kind of judgments. I don't look at people and go, you've awakened. It will be obvious to them. They don't need me to tell them they're awakening or that they're starting to, quote unquote, to get it. They'll know. So what I am offering to you here, May, is not a casual experience. People are generally very casual about spiritual work, real authentic spiritual work they stay away from. I mean, I'm like a dentist. You stay away from that unless you absolutely have to be there. This idea, though, that you brought up of commitment, you know, it's really not a matter of commitment. It's a matter of devotion. And most people are fragmented, so fragmented that they're fractured. They've been fractured and then they fragment. The fracture comes in the genetic heart being deeply disappointed about whatever has happened to them in some event in the world. It could be anything. It could be a lost love. It could be their father, their mother. And then typically what they do is they live to relieve themselves of the hit, of the fracture. They'll use pot or they'll use booze. Those two are the usual two. Or food is another one. Or obsessive compulsive behavior. And they never really deal with it. They just try to mend it here and mend it there. When you're in an authentic spiritual practice like this one, you don't mend things. It isn't about mending. It's about complete evacuation of the emotionality. Moving so far away from emotionality that you are no longer confined by it, looking for how to avoid commitments. Devotion is very different than commitment. When I'm committed, it means it's a mental, emotional thing. I am white-knuckling it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it done. I'm committed to getting this done. That's not the point. Devotion is love. Devotion is love for the sake of service to not only humankind, but the awakening. The awakening that is living within you. You don't need to awaken. You are awakened. You need to discover that you are awakened. And this can happen only when you no longer exist as a man or a woman or a idea of who your personage is, and you start to live in the presence of yourself. I'm using really awkward words here, because the presence of yourself means that there is no self to be, you know, present in. It is rather an energy. It is an energetic that lives within us all. Within us all. No matter who you are in this world, it lives there. Now, it just depends on what your life is. Do you live to survive? Do you live to sustain and keep the ego surviving? Is that what it's all about? Everybody has some persona, some ego that they're keeping alive through the way they live their life. Everybody has it to some degree. I have it. Everybody does. So the object of the game is to live in the world, but not let the world live in you. And if you can do this, if you can sustain this, if you can maturate into this, then a great deal of kindness can happen for you. A great deal of awakening can occur within you. You will never have to worry about your own awakening. It is already there. So what I am offering to you is an alternative to living out of the ego. This takes devotion. Your heart, your human heart, is not enough. That's where the commitment is. When I am devoted to something beyond my human heart, I am using my real heart, the authentic heart, the heart of love, the heart of life. They have become one. And I am developing the self-realization that there is a soul that lives within me, that exists around me. You know, when I was a kid, and they used to talk about going within, I never really understood that, because I always found that whatever was that presence that lives was around me, not within me. When I close my eyes, I'm in Greg. I'm in my ego. I'm in my vanity. I'm in my pride. But when I close my eyes and I realize that I exist as a presence around Greg, that is when something unique started to happen to me. So I am teaching that which you must be devoted to. If you're committed to your closing your eyes and thinking it lives within you, you've already missed. And you just want casual commitment when you feel like it, emotionally speaking. I've had a lot of looky-loos in my day. Come to workshops, occasionally come to retreats, and I get rid of them very quickly. I don't even have to say anything. I just have to teach. And they're sitting there and have not one clue as to what I am ever talking about. Retreats are very beautiful things. They're about the whole idea of loving devotion, like Mary Magdalene had with Jesus, like Ananda had with the Buddha. Just this loving care that goes on. And it's not about personalities or persons. It's about the infinite that lives in all of us. And we are celebrating that infinite. And we are reveling in it. And we are keeping ego, pride, and vanity out of it. And those who let it leak in lose it quickly. But those who can sustain the presence of love that lives within us all, there is something very unique. There is the way. So, May, you can come and go as you want. You know, I always feel this way. If you come and you hear things and you think to yourself, I can't do this, it's too hard, at least the seed has been planted in you. And that seed will grow through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime until you are ready. So that would be very good for you. And if you hear something that abides in you, that imbibes you, that permeates through you, and you kind of feel it, and you feel the rhythm of it, and you want to get involved in that rhythm, then I'd love to have you. It would be my honor. So you have to consider whether or not you're willing of that vibe, whether or not you're willing to let this thing maturate in and through you, imbibe you, love you, enfold you, give you grace and mercy. Those are your choices. I can only offer what I offer, and I hope that one day you will come and join us, even if it's just for one moment. It is enough to have one moment. Please forgive me. Namaste. The old saying that Jesus gave, many are called, few have chosen, is huge. It's very, very big. Last one comes from Rex. Greg, why so many meditations all the time? Buddha only had one. Rex. Well, Rex, were you there? Did you know what Buddha taught? Did you know the meditations he gave? He gave many more than one. Many more. I am doing Tibetan pulsing meditations. These are very unique. They offer depth, clarity. They offer abilities to navigate and live beyond the beyond and to feel the oneness of life as it is. There are 164 beautiful meditations that are Tibetan pulsing. I have done them all. I know how they work. I know what they've done in me. They are the source of my, shall we say, energetics. So I understand them deeply. What I am offering to you is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. And when I did these meditations way back in the day in India, I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that they have their great beauty, that everything leads to Vipassana meditation, which is what you're referring to with Gautama Buddha. I watch students, I've watched monks and people struggle with their meditations, just struggle, fighting this ego thought, fighting that ego energetic, fighting this kind of mentality and fighting that kind of mentality, all going around and around and around. Missing the whole thing. What can I say to you? You're saying to me that these are superfluous meditations that have been handed down for hundreds and hundreds of years? Hundreds of years. No, I don't think so. No, I find them very enthralling, and my students do as well. They are tipping the scales in a person. These meditations lay the groundwork. And then one day, with a student who has no idea what they're really doing or what effect these meditations are and how preparatory they are for their own awakening, one day they simply awaken. Have I had that? I've had students have huge satoris and moments of huge awakenings. Why didn't they sustain it? Because they took it to their ego. And that's why. So it became very difficult for them to sustain what it is they found. But they found it, and they know it exists. They know where their glasses are. They're on their forehead. Now, getting the glasses down so you can see through them, that is the way you live your life. And if you live your life in loving kindness and care, that's what you get. A depth, a clarity, a beauty, an insight that is all very, very meaningful. So yes, there are many meditations. I just got done with a retreat, and I have four beautiful meditations to offer, as well as the ambient on catharsis before we begin our March retreat, which will be on the consequences of our karma and learning to live deathlessly in the next year, which is what we're going to be working on. It is very important. Teachers don't generally do this. It's involved and complicated work that most people just find too difficult to do. But those who do and see the value of it and what is trying to happen in these beautiful meditations find that they are accumulative. And they build and they build and they build in a person. They tear down the resistance and the fear and the anger. They tear down the luxury of thinking that hatred is self-righteousness. And they come into that moment, they all do, where love can exist as love, a way of life, the essence of living. That's why Rex, that's why. I work very hard to make these meditations, as do the boys that actually do them. And they're very, very beautiful. They might be superfluous to your ego, but they are very effective. I hope one day you might consider them. You might start off with the new ones on Catharsis. They'd be a great place to start. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow, what a collection of questions. I love them all. Every single one of them was wonderful. I always feel so honored. Anyway, if you ever have a comment, a question, or something that you would like me to ramble through, just come here to the website at aspire.org. Go to the top of the page. You'll see contact. Just click on it and send me an email, for goodness sakes. I would love to hear from you. Have a wonderful day. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.